Praise God.
Yeah. Father, we thank you for our coming together. We've been doing not to you now, we try to do yourself in our minds and our understanding, Lord, this morning. We pray that you will just be amongst us in a special way. Pray that through grace and Andrew, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon them, and then your comfort, your peace. And Lord, together as we come around your word, we pray, Lord, that you will be so to us that we shall understand just what you want us to know this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God's good. So now we are on the fourth part of the prayer track, and that part is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's from Matthew 6, chapter 6 and verse 12. So we're looking at that part of that prayer that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, and this is important to our lifestyle. It's important to our answered prayers, and it's important to us basically as individuals physically, that we can live freely under the covering of the Lord by the fact of forgiving others. So, first of all, forgiveness. What does it mean? It means to dismiss. It means to give up. It means to put away. And it means to remove. So that means to remove them away, so that we do not stand guilty of those, that unforgiveness, and that we can come under the power and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So forgiveness can hinder the work of God flowing in our lives, and it's important that we learn to forgive. And over the years that I've lived, I've seen unforgiveness operating, and I've seen what it does to people. And I think early on in life I began to learn the lesson that, hey, you need to forgive Andrew, it's not worth it, because unforgiveness actually just causes you to be imprisoned by that unforgiveness. Unforgiveness causes you to be to build your own prison, basically. And So we should endeavour to do everything in our power to forgive others. We need to see that the sins of others, because that's what it is, because unforgiveness is actually a sin. When you hold unforgiveness against somebody, you're sinning yourself. And so you have to remove that from your lives. And some people might say, well, it's only a small sin. Well, before the Lord, sin is sin. Whether large or small, it's us that gives it the size, not God. As far as God's concerned, sin is sin, and that's it, no matter what size it is. And so we need to remove this unforgiveness from our lives, because that unforgiveness releases us into a place and a position where the Lord is able to just continually flow into our lives and cause the power of God to flow through us, and the grace of God to be in our lives in such a wonderful way that we will see lives being touched and changed for His praise and for His glory. So our efforts really is to find out, how do we get along with everybody all the time? Now that's a challenge, isn't it? Hey? How do we get along with everybody all the time? Not easy. But the fact is that somehow we have to see the Lord in a person's life, if they're a believer. And, you know, running a church over the years, you meet people who come and go, and they like bring trials and tribulations, they can rub you up the wrong way, and you know, you have to sometimes, you sort of bite and grind your teeth, and you know, okay, yeah, well, and you just have to learn to sort of grip and think, well, I'm not going to take the bait, because it is sometimes it's a little bit like bait. And you know, sometimes the enemy will send people into the church just to, the little foxes, as it's termed in Scripture, just to sort of get you to be just knocked off slightly, and move you into a place where you are unforgiving, you can become malicious, you can become very angry with people. And so it's important that we learn to fellowship with people, and you fellowship with people on the Christ, not on doctrine.
No.
Okay? Doctrine is not what we fellowship on. We fellowship on Jesus. Because over the years, my doctrine has changed. And yours has changed. As we journey closer with the Lord, He opens up and He reveals more to us of Himself. And so it changes our concept, our understanding of the Lord, and the understanding of God's ways. And so our doctrine begins to be moulded. So, and let's be honest, you won't get to heaven on a doctrine.
No.
The only thing you will get to heaven on is the fact of having Christ Jesus in your heart and in your life, and accepting Him and making Him Lord of your Saviour. Yeah. So that is so important to us. So as Christians, we are in the process, basically, of coming to the full measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we've been made in His image. We are to be like Christ, we're to act like Christ, and we are to declare the way of the Lord to people around us. So if we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. And here, Paul is talking about, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's a lot in there. There's a real amount in there, just in those few verses. So Paul is saying that we are to attain to unity of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is first. We came to faith. God gave us the gift of faith to come to Christ. And then we have to come to that knowledge of the Son of God. And then we have to come to a point where we become a mature man. A mature person in Christ. So that we then begin to measure up to the stature of Christ Jesus. So what is that saying really? That there is saying that you and I are in a process of coming from infancy and growing and developing and come to a place of maturity. It's in Corinthians where it talks about that we look through a veil and we see things darkly. But then it says, when we come to the place, basically when we come to the place of maturity, the veil is lifted. And so for you and I, that maturity is bringing us to that point, and I keep saying this, I keep using this one, the fact that we go back to the Garden of Eden. The maturity that God is looking for in each and every one of us is that He can have conversation with each and every one of us face to face.
Yeah.
As was in the Garden of Eden. That is what the Lord Jesus came to re-establish. That is what God is looking for. So I believe what Paul is talking about here is maturity of actually seeing Christ face to face, having that relationship which goes beyond just light-hearted, just a, well, it's a, you know, this will do, that will do. No, it's this determination to follow through in Christ, to become to that place where we are one in Christ and Christ is one in us.
Amen.
And so we these are the things that we have to move towards. For instance, in a marriage, if husbands and wives learn to say, I am sorry, it doesn't happen very often, does it, love?
No.
But it's learning to say, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. And that, it does a tremendous thing within a relationship.
Yeah.
It changes the dynamics of the relationship. When one can say sorry, when one can say, please forgive me, that is what keeps the marriage growing and developing and causes a marriage to be successful. If not, the marriage will die. You know, because this is part of the communication of give and take. When you become as one.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. So you have to begin to change. And so there's a change going on in you and in your partner. And so as you journey together, you do become one even more so. Because you know what it's like? The wife looks at you and says, I know what you're thinking. And it's like, but I haven't said anything yet. No, but I know exactly what you're thinking of doing. I know Grace does it with me, you know. She'll tell, now go and sit down and relax. Now, I can be sat down on the settee, and a few minutes later she'll walk in and say, I thought I told you sit down and relax. I said, I'm sat down and relaxed. Look at me. She says, yeah, but this is going. I can see it, you know. And your brain's running, and so she knows that I'm not yet relaxed. So you get to know one another, and even the actions that one, the other one will do before they do it. And so this is, as the relationship develops and grows, and you think, yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about that same relationship that the Lord is talking about between you and Him.
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord can see you, and He knows what you're going to do, but
yes,
do we know what He's going to do?
Yeah.
That's the big question,
yeah,
isn't it? He knows what you're going to do. Because He knows you from the inside to the outside, but it's a case of we need to know Him so that we know what He's going to do.
Yeah.
Now that's a dynamic that probably I've never even thought of directly myself too much, but yeah. Do I know what He's going to do? And I've got to be honest, there are times when the answer is, no, I don't. So I've still got some growing, I've still got some relationship working on to develop with the Son of God. And so, and then there are times when something can rise up inside of you when you think about someone. I don't know if you've ever had this, somebody's done something, offended you or hurt you, and you know, the enemy can use that thought to come in and it causes something to rise up and it takes you back in time and to those hurts, those pains and those angers, and that can be resentment, bitterness. Even to the fact of thinking, I could murder that person. Ever had that thought? Well, I'm going to admit, yeah, I have. See, years ago. I mean, I better not say it on tape. Just felt like, I could murder that. Even, is there some way I could do this, you know? Bad, ain't it, really? But, honestly. But you see, I have to come to the point of forgiving that individual. Because if I didn't, the only person that was going to be held bondage by this thing, this put me in a prison situation, the only person that can set me free is me. Because I choose whether or not to forgive. It's not something that God says, oh, you must. No, you choose. God's saying that this is the best way, but then you have to choose the way. Which way will you walk? Which way will you journey? And so, but in that choice, then that brings us to a victory. It brings us, it's a spiritual key. It brings us to a place of liberty. It brings us to a place of victory and joy through that forgiveness. Sometimes you can't forget, but even when that memory is brought back to you, you can turn around and say, well, I've already dealt with that. I have chosen to forgive. And so that's what you say to the, when the enemy brings that thought back to you, I've chosen to forgive. So now he does not have the ability to manipulate you with that situation and with that circumstance. And so in as we go back into Matthew chapter 6, and again verses 12 and onwards, but let's have a look at verse 14 and 15. And Jesus is just actually re-emphasizing this point of the prayer, right? And that he's saying, because he's already said, Amen. But then now he picks up again in verse 14 and says, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought we were forgiven. That throws one, doesn't it? We're forgiven. Thank you. It is, but it isn't, yeah. I mean, the fact, well, the condition is, if we want to, if the condition for us to be forgiven is that we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. So there is a condition, yeah, there is. That, but it's not the exchange, no, that's right. We have nothing to exchange in the sense of any worth. We don't purchase our forgiveness, we don't purchase our salvation, it's freely given, but we actually have to come to a point when we where we change and we say, I receive you as my Lord and Saviour. I'm changing sides, I'm deciding I am going to follow Jesus, not fully understanding that. But at the same time, it says that if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So the fact is that there is an importance here that Jesus is saying, that you and I must continue to maintain this type of walk and relationship with everyone. Because it's in that forgiveness of forgiving others that God is constantly allowing forgiveness to flow into our lives all the time. We're forgiven of our sins, and that prevent us from that relationship, but we come to a point sometimes when we, well, I mean, I suppose Peter, bless him, you know, he denied Christ. He's on fire, and yet he denies Christ, and the Lord says to him, I've prayed for you. And when you have been fully restored, strengthened, your brethren, when you've turned again. That's right. Jesus is praying for all of us. Yeah. I mean, the Word of God says he's our high priest. And he says he's there before the throne of God interceding on our behalf. And whatever circumstance, whatever situation that you and I are in, there Jesus is pleading your case. The moment that we bring it before the Lord, he then says, that's okay, I'll take this up. And he begins to plead the case and declare the victory through his precious blood. And so verse 15, but if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So obviously there is this situation where we are set free, we are forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus, we're set free through what Christ has done for us, but we can be led into temptation. And in that temptation, we don't forgive people. And the Lord says, you know better.
Yeah.
You know better.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus said, you know, have we got a sword? And Peter said, oh, yeah, we've got one. And he's ready to use it, sort of thing. And he did. And then the Lord shows him that he just picks up the ear and places it back on his servant and says, put it away. And so sometimes we can say things and do things and then we regret it, and we have to ask, have you ever done this? Ask the Lord for forgiveness? Because we often and we do.
How many times should I forgive?
I'm going to get to that one. We're getting to that one. That one's in here, yeah. We're going to get to that one.
I have
Throw a knife at them, you know.
But actually, the going off this tangent a little bit, Sarah, while we were at the workshop, an angel in disguise or something, she was a beautiful nature woman out of the concert, and she took it on board, and I think she did to the last time.
Oh, man.
One of our ones. Not my personally, but you know, the one time I've actually got things right and been brave enough to say anything. Unfortunately, when I left within 2 months, she died of cancer. But, yeah, and that virtual, all those two verses will remind me of the fact that the conversation, but we can say that to each other when we're really ready for going out and moving.
Yeah. That's right.
And a choice, that's the thing.
You make a choice, and sometimes people say, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget.
Yeah, well,
we can't forget.
No, that's true.
God can forget. But you know, there's things that I cannot remember.
Yeah.
There's things that I've forgiven. And if they say, well, I have no recollection of it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I put it on, what I've done when I forgive people, I've endeavoured to put it on the back burner. I can't forget it at the time, but I can live as if it never happened.
That's right, and the less you focus on it, the greater the lack of the ability to remember it will grow within our lives, for, you know, that you walk away. I mean, this funeral that we took just the other day, somebody came up to me and said, I'd like to apologise for if I've hurt you and Grace in the past because of various things. And I just said, well, forget it, it's past, it's over, it's not in my memory, you know, and you just move on. Because if you and I were to focus and remember all those negatives, because that's what they are, those negatives, our lives would be really in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our lives would be in pain. I've seen people with masses of unforgiveness suffering with massive arthritis issues, because I've seen historically that arthritis has been a cause of some great unforgiveness in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a root in unforgiveness for some reason, and so we need to realise that the way we speak, the way we act, the way we live affects us physically. It has an effect on this mortal body, and so we need to realise that. And as we live our lives in that realm of forgiveness, we see God moving in a tremendous way in power. And so we need to ask God to forgive us, don't we? That's certainly what we need to do. And it says, as you pray this, ask God to look into your heart, that the Holy Ghost will put his finger on things that you need to confess, to be forgiven from. And historically, Grace and I have had experiences where we've been praying with people and the Lord said to me, there's unforgiveness in this person's life and this is why they're not being healed. And I'm like, really? And so, and then I'd say, well, what is it, Lord? And the Lord, Ty, would reveal it to me, and I'd say to this person, have you got, and they'd be quite specific, and they would say, yeah, how did you know that? Well, I said, I didn't. I said, God knows it. And I said, the Lord has told me that you have got to deal with this and you've got to forgive this person, this incident, this circumstance, and he will heal you. And the moment they set about dealing with that and doing that, then the Lord healed them. So there are things that are connected that, as I said earlier, right at the beginning, that unforgiveness creates a prison. And we restrict what God can do in our lives and the move of God in our lives. So I believe it's a thing of, as we're walking on forgiveness, we're walking actually in freedom in Christ Jesus. And in Job chapter 34 and verse 32, it says there, "Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more." In other words, Job is saying, you know, or this conversation, it's like a conversation in one sense with God. Show me what I've done wrong. Show me how I've got it wrong, and then teach me how not to do it again. Because that's the problem, isn't it? You know, some people can, through their upbringing, through their maybe childhood difficulties, many people through the war, for instance, held great pain. I was going to say grudges, but it's the pain of the emotional side of what happened to them, their family and circumstances, and I know some of that personally. And it made it difficult at times for them to actually forgive and to maintain easy relationships with people, because that underlying thing, that of bitterness, maybe resentment, hurt, damage that was done, that God needed to heal. And it was a deep, you know, it can be a very deep thing that God has to work in and deal with.
You've gone all your life not forgiven, and you've come to Christ, so you're forgiven.
You're forgiven, yes. You are. Because that's what the word says, you know, the Lord forgives us. But as believers, we've not got to continue in that same lifestyle, because we've changed our lifestyle to a lifestyle of forgiveness. And so when things go wrong, when and it will come from the past, somebody will appear or something will appear that has been hurtful in the past, and you have to then take on this new attitude of relationship and have forgiveness towards them, and not holding the past against them, because our past has been forgiven. God does not hold my past against me.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. But he's forgiven me. But in the same way, I need also to forgive others, so that I am not holding things against them, and so I can continue to keep moving on. 1 John, the first book of John, chapter 1, near the end of, just before Revelation. 1 John chapter 9, chapter 1 and verse 9. And John says this: "If we confess our sins, he that is God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So again, you and I might think, well, God already knows what I've done wrong. Yeah, but you need to realise that you've done it wrong, and that you need to realise that you need to deal with it with God and acknowledge that God is there to direct and to rule your life, and to, because he is the one who is our great umpire of life. He's the one who is to guide us by his Spirit. And so we need at times, when we know we've sinned, and you might not be able to say it to the person that you're holding something against for some reason, but you have to forgive them. I remember an instance where there was a girl, and she had some tremendous unforgiveness against one of her uncles, and for an act which had happened, and I said to her, you know, you have to forgive him, and she said, well, shall I go and talk to him and see him? And I said, I don't think that's a good idea. And she went on to say, well, shall I tell my husband? I said, I think that's the even worse idea. I think this needs to be between you and the Lord, and you let it go, because you're now a new creation, a brand new person, and move on from this. Did she listen? No. She told her husband. He was about to go and murder the uncle. So I got called in again. And I had to spend time, counsel, and then pray with him, because a spirit of murder had actually come over him. And his hands were locked in such a position, with such a desire to strangle and commit murder, that it was, I'd not seen it before actually. And so forgiveness is very important to us, because it releases you from all the attacks of the enemy, and it releases you to live in the presence and in the power of the Spirit. And so that's how we must learn to live.
So,
yeah, he does, yeah. That's right. And this is what, and this is it, you see. The Lord is trying to teach us step by step to avoid that process of coming to that place where we are overtaken by sin. Because that's what happens. We are then overtaken by the thought, and then, well, I mean, Jesus said, if you think it, you've already done it, which, you know, leaves us all in a bit of a state, doesn't it? Yeah, guilty. And so we have to come to that place where we have to take, well, the word says, take captive every thought, doesn't it?
Every action starts with a thought.
Every action starts with a thought, that's right. And so that's why Jesus said, if you think it, you've already done it. So it's like, whoa, I need to take captive that thought and deal with that thought. And so this is all part of the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. And this is the basis of, as we grow and develop in Christ, we see God moving in our lives in such a wonderful way. And we need to be aware that the enemy tries to remind us of things. You know, you can be just moving along in a, you know, steady way, and then all of a sudden this thought comes in, way back from your past, this incident, and you're like, I thought I dealt with that. And it tries to just burrow in to your life, because you're like, so yeah, you have dealt with it, but it's trying to just get its way into your life again, that it might bring bondage, it might cause you to even stumble and fall, but the God wants to set you free. And in Romans 8 and verse 1 it says, now there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So for you and I, it is this situation that as we walk in this attitude of forgiveness, as we walk in this lifestyle of forgiveness, Romans 8 and verse 1 kicks in, that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So this, by forgiving people, we are maintaining our position in Christ.
Yeah.
We're maintaining that relationship, we're maintaining our fellowship with the Lord, and we're maintaining our prayer life with the Lord, which brings us to the point, there is no condemnation. I'm not condemned, there is nothing to condemn me for. But, no, there's no buts in this. This is what the Word says. This is what the Lord taught me when He taught me to pray. I'm forgiven because I've forgiven others. And I'll say this, we have to say, honestly, we have to say out loud, to, you know, not to everybody around us, but in our own prayer life, Lord, I forgive so-and-so. Or I forgive the... There are people who say, well, I'll never go back to church because of what the church did to me, whatever that was, you know. But again, there's always two sides to the story, as we all know. But one has to turn around and say, but I forgive that whatever it happens to be. I have to learn to forgive it. Whatever they do from their side is not my responsibility. Because I am building my own prison cave. So by me saying I forgive this, I forgive that, I forgive this circumstance, etc., what these did to me, then all you're doing is you're knocking the bricks out and you're being set free constantly all the time. And there is no way that you can be imprisoned by those circumstances and situations again. And so we function in that way. And I know I can look back, and if I wanted I could write stories and I just look, and we do, unfortunately, we do look back at times, but we learn to look back and say, well, thank God I learned some lessons through that, and I don't hold any malice towards them. You know, I thank God that somehow I will continue to maintain some form of good relationship with them, because that is the way God wants it to be. Because God wants his church to be united. He wants the body of Christ to be united.
Yeah.
And, you know, God could turn around to each and every one of us and say, oh, by the way, do you remember when you said this? Do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you...
But for the grace of God.
But for that grace of God.
He forgets about it.
But he chooses...
When he forgives us, he forgets.
That's right.
He forgets behind his back. Never to be remembered against you anymore.
Amen.
And those are the lessons.
If you say to the Lord, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I did it last, the Lord say, I don't know about that.
That's right.
The Lord does not hold memory.
No.
We have memory.
And we have to be thankful that the Lord doesn't hold memory for us, because of what, you know. But if he did, can you imagine what it would be like for us? My Lord, you know. I mean, you're just like, don't do it, Lord, please don't remind me, sort of thing. So, you know, we're thankful that God has chosen not to remember. But, you know, if he didn't choose to remember, think what state we would actually be in. And so this we need to apply to ourselves. Because when God made us, it says in the beginning, he made us in the image of himself. Ooh. Choosing not to remember, choosing never to bring it up again. And when somebody, as I said the other week, came to me and said, I'm sorry for it, and I just said, look, we're not even going there. It's past. Today's today. We're moving forward in Christ Jesus. And it could have brought memories up, and I just stopped it. Not having them. And that's how, you know, and that's one way to keep pressing forward, because there are some memories that we need to forget. There are memories that we don't need to forget, but there are some memories we do need to forget. And to be honest, I was reminded of something the other day, and I forgot all about it. And it weren't quite necessarily a good memory. And I realised it had totally gone from my memory. And you know something? I can't remember what it was. But I do remember somebody just bringing something up, and I'm like, oh, totally forgot all about that. You know? But I can't remember now what it was. So it really has been erased from the memory box in that sense. That I don't, because in one sense, we don't have time for those sort of memories. We have a mission, we have a purpose, we have a plan to move forward, and we need to continue in those. And so it's this forgiveness that keeps us moving forward in Christ Jesus. Yes, that's right. The word changes. You see, the word forms us. The word, if you want, is a little bit like the hand of God, because we're on the potter's wheel.
8:29.
Yeah.
He says, I knew you from another's womb.
That's right.
And he says, I formed you from another's womb. And my purpose is to make us like Jesus.
Amen. That's right. And you know, one of the prophets talks about going down to the potter's house, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I often remember that from school, actually, school days.
Mm.
And you know, just imagining that the potter, who's God Himself, placing His hand on you, and you're on that wheel, and He begins to mould you and to shape you and to form you, and then suddenly He finds something in your life that is, wow, that does not need to be there. There's an impurity. And so the potter stops the wheel and he digs into that clay. Ouch. And he removes it, because he knows as this pot journeys through its journey to its completion, that if that piece of impurity is left in there, when it gets into the fire, when it gets into that challenging situation, it could shatter and be destroyed. And so you see, God is, sometimes He'll pokes into us and digs something out, says, that needs to go. And then again. Say it again.
Do we block it?
Do we block it? What? In what?
Yeah. You don't always have to talk about it there, but then when it comes to that, actually, if you typically think, I think forgiveness certainly more than actually.
Oh, it is.
It's quite a stumbling block.
Yes, yeah.
And I think thinking about what the Bible is about, speaking in tongues and all that, I've long since thought, do you know what? Maybe that's the key thing.
Hmm.
And actually opening up about that, and quite maybe I'm not conscious of it necessarily, but I do sometimes think maybe I've got something I'm sat on for a long time.
Yeah.
That's been there. I don't let them out.
Yeah. There's a hymn. Remember one of the times when I first saw Grace and her best friend were actually practicing this hymn to sing at the church that they were at, and it's that hymn was, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Lord, and what is it? No more thoughts I pray, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And that comes from one of the Psalms. You see, so that's strange. That was a memory that came up. That were a memory that came up from somewhere, weren't it? No, I hadn't. I can remember you and her. You were playing the piano, and you were stood in that minor hall singing it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. See. I mean, that memory has been there for over 50 years. And I don't recall it, I can't remember the last time I've ever seen it, but just suddenly that memory has just popped up from 50 years ago, right? Just through beginning to mention the scripture in our conversation. So, back to what you're saying. Yeah, we can block. Because, you see, we have a free will. And our problem is that we have to learn to surrender all of our will to Christ and say, whatever, Lord, do it. And when it comes up, we have to, and sometimes we have to be brave and we have to say, yeah, Lord, I've got to deal with this. Because the Lord at times wants us to journey the journey. And if we refuse, if we refuse in that area, does that mean when we get to another situation, circumstance, we're going to refuse Him again? And again, that brings me back to the time when we were in a church and in Maltby, and someone had died, and I had a call from the family, "Will you come and pray for my mother? We believe God wants to raise her from the dead." So I said, "Well, I'll pray about it and ring you back." And I'm praying about it, and I said, "Lord, you know, do I go? What are you going to do?" And the Lord said to me, "I want you to go." So I said, "So, Lord, are you going to raise her from the dead?" And He just said to me, "That's for me to know, and that's for you to find out. He said, it's not for you to know. He says, and his final words were me, he says, Andrew, I demand obedience. And I'm like, whoa, that's tough, that, you know, because I'm going to this situation and, well, I mean, I was accused of making the church look a foolish and embarrass the church, etc., etc. But then again, who do I listen to? You see? And I have seen people raised from the dead since. So, you know, and again... But the thing is, you see, that it is you and I. We have to freely let the Lord move us and direct us. And so when he brings something up is hindering this development, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about you and I developing in our relationship, you and I growing closer to God, you and I becoming more in the image of the Father than we are now. You see? And so, if there are things that are in the way, then God has got to deal with them. The Holy Spirit will come. And I liken our lives, try and make it simple in one sense, is that, for instance, the temple in the Old Testament had a number of other rooms. And if you remember, Nehemiah comes back after about 10 years to check on, see how things are going. And he arrives and he's going through the temple and the temple rooms, he's checking everything, and he says, what's all this junk in here? This is in the paraphrased Andrew's version, you know, what's all this junk in here? So one of the priests says, oh, this is, I can't remember which one it was, Sambalat or Tobias, it's their stuff. Well, he blew a fuse. Yeah, he went absolutely wappy with them. He says, you what? He says, 10 years ago, them guys were trying to kill me and stop me building this wall. And now you've got their stuff in here. Get it out. It's ungodly. But this little fox has made its way in. He said, it's ungodly. Take it out, burn it, get rid of it, and cleanse the room. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say is that there are things in our lives that we've locked the door off, and in some cases we've actually forgotten about them. They're locked away so far away we've forgotten about them, and then one day the Holy Spirit comes along and he just goes, what about this, John? I forgot. We need to deal with that, John. We need to deal with that, Ava, etc. And so the Lord begins that work, and he sometimes puts his finger on things and says, this needs to be dealt with for you to progress in your greater walk with me. Peter had to deal with things in his life, right? And everyone has to deal with things in their lives. And so I should have likened this temple, because this is what our body is called. We are the temple of the Lord. And so in that in the natural temple that was built, there were rooms. In this natural spiritual temple, there are rooms that we've hidden things away, and God said, we need to move that out. We need to move that out. And the Holy Spirit searches us. Because the Holy Spirit wants to fill every crevice, every area, and cleanse everything about us, that we might be that absolute pure conductor of the presence and power of God. And some folks say, "Oh, you're way over the top with that." Well, that's the destiny. That I see that when we arrive in glory, that's where the destiny will be. That we are pure. Totally. So the journey starts now. Doesn't start when we arrive in heaven. The journey started the moment that we gave our life to Christ. The journey started then. The process of cleansing us, forming us, renewing us, rebuilding us, shaping us, removing everything that taints our lives, to bring us to that place where the fullness of God can flow through us. That's the plan. That's the purpose of God for your life and for my life. that there is a fullness of flow in each and every one of us. Amen?
You, amen.
So, sometimes I've had people come up to me and say, oh, I'm sorry about it. They've actually said, I'm sorry about doing that. Not about to say to them, well, I've got a fool to do that. But the enemy was being playing havoc with their mind to try and say, you've offended David. And I've done it, so I'm up for you and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. Let's don't even forgive. So we've got to. This forgiveness is a vital thing in our lives. And if we feel that we've offended, if you feel you've offended me, you may have done or you may not have done. But if you deal with it in your own life, it's dealt with. And when you come and say to me, oh, I'm sorry, I said that about you, and said that in the meeting, or said that when we were in conversation, I didn't mean to offend you. I had someone do it to me a few weeks ago, and I said, I don't know what you're talking about. You've not offended me in any way, shape, or form. But the enemy takes hold of them, endeavors to make them. But there's a whole hymn that says, be like Jesus, this my soul. And I want to be more like Jesus, and I believe in our growth and development, we are become more like Jesus. And I say to myself, I want to be more like Jesus so that when I get to heaven and I see him, I'm going to be made like him. The change is going to be as minimal, but it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. But that's how I feel. But forgiveness is the most absolute things down the line we need to do. And we need to forgive one another. And if I've offended you, tell me, because I might not know.
Another thing on that line about us forgiving is also the fact of us not giving offence.
Yes.
You know, we don't have to be a people who actually give offence. But the other side of that is as well is that if you take offence, then you're wrong. Because what has just happened then, if you take offence, what has just happened is your pride has just come to the top of the pile and said, you have offended me, and etc. And so that is something that then has to be dealt with. So the Lord then, so if you've taken offence with somebody, the Lord's saying, oh, by the way, I see there's some pride still left in your life that we need to deal with. Oh, didn't think of that one, did we? Yeah, so There are facets of this. It's not all one way.
No.
It's a process. It's a work. We're in process. So let's move on from there to Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21-22. And this is what David was talking about earlier, trying to steal the fire early, and he says, then Peter came and said to him, Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Now that sounds a good thing, doesn't it? Yeah, up to seven times. And then Jesus said to Peter, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And so I put there in the notes there, so Jesus was saying, as many times as you've been hurt and offended, forgive every 176 seconds, or 1.5 minutes approximately. So if I came up to you and said, Ava, please forgive me, I'm sorry about this, and then a minute and a half later came back to you and said to you, Ava, please forgive me, I'm really sorry about this, well, and if I continued that through the day, you'd be like, you were driving me crazy. I have just told you, and I don't know how many times that I've forgiven you, receive it. You see. And so, here Jesus is saying, I suppose he's really saying, our life is a life of continual forgiveness. Because as we journey our journey, if, as the Lord had said, in Scripture that if you think something wrong, you've already done it, then God's already forgiven you again and again. So the Lord Himself is operating, God Himself is operating in that same way that He's continually forgiving you. He's forgiving your thoughts. And so we should be continually living in a lifestyle of forgiveness towards each other and towards men and women around us, which is again can be a tough call. Verse 23 of that same chapter says, "For this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle account with his slaves." I don't know if you've read ahead of this one, but this is a story of a king who has a servant who owes him money, and he takes this servant and he begins to deal with him. I should have written down for you, said the servant owed the king about the equivalent in today's money of about £7 million. Wow, that's a in-debt servant, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's like you will never pay this no matter what you do. And in verse 28, this servant in this part of this chapter is actually being forgiven this £7 million debt. And it's like, wow, all this weight's lifted off my shoulders, you know, I'm free from it. So the king has chosen to forgive him all this debt. And yet it says in verse 28 that this servant goes out and finds another servant who owes him 100 denarii, owes him £10. And he gets him thrown in prison for a tenner. From 7 million to £10. And he gets him thrown in prison. And he says he has no compassion for this man. But you know, when the king hears about it, he reverses his decision. Wow. You know, we need to learn that we've been forgiven so much.
Yeah.
You might not fully understand it, you might not totally appreciate it, but we have been forgiven so much. Yeah. And we have to keep forgiving and moving forward. I remember one of my mentors in the States, he was such a forgiving man, and there were people who would financially manipulate and abuse him, and he would never carry any malice towards them. If it came to him next time, he'd still do whatever he needed to do for them, and he just never carried any of this in his spirit. And this is what we have to learn not to do, because if you carry these things, you carry these things in your spirit, and you actually cause your spirit to sour. Mm. And the Lord wants that sweet spirit within you. Mm. And so, God does not want you to have an unforgiving spirit. I said earlier on about people who I've met historically with a spirit of unforgiveness and of murder and then arthritis through etc. And so if we have an unforgiving spirit, all manners of sickness and depression, guilt and manipulation can come upon us. The enemy just uses it as an entrance into our lives to manipulate us and to stop us. And so we have to come to that point where we are continually realizing the position that the Lord has placed us in, and He's placed you and I in a great place of responsibility of being able to forgive. And I think the modern church has forgotten a lot of this. You know, it's forgotten this. The early church operated into it, the Orthodox church operated, and I mean, there's a verse of scripture where it says, if you forgive somebody their sins, then their sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in the book. You know, and I know we cringe about the Catholic Church when they say you have to go to the Catholic, you have to go to the priest, etc. I understand where people are coming from with that, but also in the Word it says that if somebody comes to you and says, as we've been saying, David, I'm sorry if I've offended you, now that fact that I've done something wrong is a sin, right? And if David says, well, I forgive you, then that sin is forgiven and remitted. Because he's operating as a part of the priesthood of the Lord of Jesus Christ. You see, each and every one of us are called to be a priest in the kingdom of God. And so by doing that, we give forgiveness. We give our forgiveness. And in our forgiveness, we're giving the forgiveness of God. Because God sees that you've forgiven them, so God will forgive them also. Because if we're not carrying that, then God won't hold it against them. Because we're operating as Jesus Christ on the earth. And so it's important that we realize the power we have in our lives. Let's have a look at Isaiah chapter 53. And verses 4 to 6. Which tells us, surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. In other words, we've rebelled. In a stronger word, all we like sheep have rebelled. Each of us has turned to our own ways, rebellion. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon Jesus. Our rebellion fell upon the Lord Jesus. And through that we have been forgiven and set free. And so the Lord is here being gracious. The hand of God is upon us. We're not being handed over to the tormentors, but the Lord is setting us free. You know, we're being released. We are releasing others from their debt to us, and so we're setting them free. And it's important that we learn to do that. We need to learn to maintain a right attitude towards others. And again, that can be a challenge. Some people can just, you know, some people can walk into a room and just wind you up and say nothing. Have you had that?
Yeah.
And you fight that within you, and you have to be in victory over that, because again, that's proving that there's something in you to some degree that needs to be dealt with. Now, if it's something to do with some demonic spirit, then okay, that's God at work in you, allowing you to see things. But if it's just the fact that you just don't like this person, you just don't get on with this person, you've just had a bad experience with this person, etc., you have to begin to bring that through to a place of victory. And some people can so easily get upset and hold a grudge. We know, I mean, we live in South Yorkshire, the mining industry, the miners' strike, we're old enough to remember it, and yet there are people who still have not spoken to family members for over 30 years because of it. What a tragedy. How much of life people are missing. You know, that brings me to a point. I remember my mother's side of the family. Mum was a very loving person, very kind person, but a lot of the family, they fell out with each other, wouldn't speak to each other for a long time. And my uncle, I never really knew my uncles on my mum's side, because they didn't talk to one another for a start. But there was only one uncle that was really close to us, and that was my uncle Eric and my auntie Betty. And we used to spend weekends with them. And when my dad was in hospital with some issues, we would, in the summer holidays, we would go and stay with them. My Uncle Eric taught me how to produce good handwriting. And he would get me at the table and I'd sit up straight, you know. And I won handwriting competitions because of my Uncle Eric, put it that way. And so he was much of my life. And then for some reason, and as kids you never know, there was a fallout. And something my dad had said or something, and we didn't see each other for a long, long time. And but I always, as I grew older, I began to try and reactivate the relationship, didn't we used to go and see him, offered him to come and see us, and he would drive past on the A1 near where we lived, and he would say to my auntie, "Oh, Andrew and Grace live just nearby here," but he would never call in for some reason, whether he was waiting for Auntie Betty to say, "Well, let's call in and see them," or something, you know. Sometimes we men do that, don't we? We just wait for the lady to say, "Well, go on, well, let's go and do it." Wait for that little bit of an affirmation. And I never did. And then Uncle Eric had a fall, was in hospital, and he was brought up a Methodist like my mother. And we hadn't seen them for a while, and we went over late at night. I think I've told this story before, but we went to this hospital, and Uncle Eric was in a coma. And basically the prognosis was he was not long for this world. He could even die tonight, was basically, I think, was what we were being told. And I remember he was in the bed, totally gone. Nothing was functioning really, apart from just simply breathing and that. Grace was sat on the right, I was sat at the foot of bed, and we just began to pray in tongues. Just sat there and began to pray in tongues quietly. And after about 10-15 minutes, all of a sudden, his eyes opened. And then he looked straight at me. And he said, "Hey, Pa Andrew, what you doing here?" I was always our Andrew. "Hey, Pa Andrew, what you doing here?" I said, "I've come to see you." And then he started smacking his lips together, and I said, "Are you thirsty?" He said, "Yeah. I'd love a cup of tea and three sugars." So I went and got him a cup. The nursing staff could not believe it. They had to come to the bed to see that he was actually awake. They were absolutely could not believe what had happened. And the only reason, I say this dearly, the only reason that I went to that hospital bed, or the main reason, is that I needed to know that he knew the Lord Jesus as his own personal saviour. And so we led him again in the prayer of dedication and acceptance of the Lord, and a few days later he went on to glory. And it then rebuilt the relationship with my Auntie Betty, and Grace had the privilege sometime later of leading Auntie Betty to the Lord. So family's in heaven, praise God. And so relationships can be restored, but it is about you and I maintaining that right sort of attitude and approach. And if we don't, then it is us that really are at fault. And you know, it talks about in scripture giving the cloak, you know, going the extra mile. And sometimes we have to go the extra mile. Yeah. And if it don't work, at least go the extra mile.
If somebody's died and you've not forgiven all your life and they've died, you still get forgiven.
Yeah, yeah, you have to release them. You say, "Lord, I release that person. I no longer hold unforgiveness towards that person." And you release yourself. That's what you do. Okay? And then you're no longer imprisoned by that. But, you know, historical things will not hold you back. You determine that, "Lord, I forgive that person. I forgive that situation, that circumstance." And we move on together. Maintaining a right attitude towards others. We're on page 16. We see how it is important to have a forgiving attitude. Each of us have been sinned against, lied about, used, misused. The word enemy, and I'd forgotten this, in Hebrew means observer. And it's someone, it means really someone who is critically watching, who is seeking there to point out your faults. Have you ever had anybody like that? My dad, bless him, was good at that. Hallelujah. And you know, you just learn to say, well, okay, that's fine, bless the Lord, and you move forward. You don't let it eat into you. So again, it's about your response to someone else's attitude towards you. You know, if somebody takes an aggressive attitude towards you and you take the other side of being placid and at peace, it diffuses the argument. It diffuses the circumstance and situation. Don't wait for, you know, an emotional conflict to rise up before you decide how to react. Always begin to flow in that attitude of peace, trusting God, and having that right attitude towards others. Sometimes it's a challenge, I'll admit that. But that's part of how we need to operate. And basically, if you are already willing, have already willed on your knees to forgive, then that's the place you need to be. That, you know, you've already dealt with this. You're already walking in the attitude of forgiveness and moving forward in God. Because if you don't, you will allow your spirit to be robbed. And God does not want that. He wants you to flow in such a wonderful way. Yeah, and unforgiveness, as I've said before, can bind you. It can bind you with cords of torment and bitterness. It can steal your joy. It can steal your peace. Because you end up, you focus on that bitterness, on that situation. And all it does, it ferments. It gets stronger and stronger. It becomes a stronger stronghold in your life. And so you have to move forward. And you have to choose to forgive. And sometimes, and it might be a process that you have to practice it every day on a certain circumstance until you've completely got the victory over it. And that's how we have to do it sometimes. We beat the thing into total submission and total death in one sense, and we bring ourselves into absolute newness of life and freedom in Christ Jesus. And then you and I become a candidate for the supernatural power of God to work through you. And this is probably like you were saying, with, you know, the Holy Spirit and the things to deal with. And it's like God's beginning to put his finger and say, come on, we need to deal with this. And as we surrender and we become that candidate then for the things of God, for the supernatural things of God. Yeah. And so it is a process. Forgiveness is not an emotion, but it is an act of your will. I choose this day. It is a choice of your will. And then in that choosing, you know, you then release from a spirit of anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, all these things that would seek to hold you back, because they're like chains and ropes around you seek to hold you back. Let's be like Paul and Peter when he was at prison, and Paul and Silas when they were in prison. They began to sing and rejoice, and their prison chains were broken. Hallelujah. No more prisoners. And so when we do that, we release ourselves into freedom, we set ourselves free from emotional torment, and we receive liberty in Christ Jesus. We receive liberty in our body, our souls, our family, our finances, and our spirit. It touches every part of our life. And as we do that, we set ourselves free. And in, you know, it talks there in Galatians that our life is there to bear fruit. And we need to be fruit bearers. What fruit are we bearing? We're not bearing fruits of bitterness, resentment, jealousy and envy, are we? Or are we fruits of the Spirit, which is what we should be bearing? And, you know, I've said this for many years. How do you know somebody's a follower of the Lord Jesus, a disciple? And it's not by the fact that they've got a decision card that they've filled in. It's not by the fact that they went to Billy Graham or whatever and put their hand up. It's by Jesus, the word says, by their fruit shall you know them?
Right.
Can you pick good fruit from somebody? And it's by that fruit that you shall know them. So make a decision. It's a decision of your will every day, at the beginning of every day, to forgive others as God has forgiven you. And that's what we need to do. C.S. Lewis said this: forgiveness. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive.
Yeah.
And it is. And that's the challenge that comes to us when we have something that we have to deal with and forgive. And that is then the challenge. We can all say, oh yeah, it's easy. I can forgive people easily. But when there is something that's there that you need to forgive, that's your challenge. And but do it. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. That's by C.S. Lewis. And it is. Praise God. I think we better stop there. We've gone on quite some time then tonight, today. I hope it's been helpful. Do the questions, question and answer studies on page 17 for yourselves, and we will have a look at them at some stage. Bless you for being here on this wonderful 40th. Well, when I got in the car this morning it was 44 degrees, praise the Lord. It's wonderful and cool.